things today. I'm a pastor out in Washington State, which means I'm a professional talker, among other things. But today, I don't really feel like talking. It's hard to know what to say at a time like this. And to be honest, like I say, I don't really feel like talking. I feel like cussing and kicking stuff and breaking stuff and knocking things over and pitching a fit, I guess. I'm not going to do that, but not yet. I'll wait till later, I guess. But so what do? You know, what do you say? What do you think? What do you believe at a time like this? There's a quote from a Christian musician, a guy named Michael Card, way smarter than me. He said this. He said, "We were created to live with God in a garden, yet every morning we wake in the desert of a fallen world." It says Jesus understood grief, and that grief is the only true response of faith in a broken, fallen world like this. He said, "Grief provides the only trustworthy bridge to God when our world is shaking." So one of the things that needs to be said, maybe, I think a lot of y'all know this, but maybe it needs to be said anyway. I'm not going to say anything new today. I've had no epiphanies in the last week or so. But it's okay to grieve. It's good to grieve. It's good to cry. It's good to talk to the Lord about how you're feeling and to be honest. He can handle it. When we read the Psalms, we see David doing that very thing. If you look up grief in the dictionary, it says to feel great sorrow, to be distressed mentally, to feel oppressed or wronged, to lament. That's a pretty good description of how it feels, isn't it? Great sorrow, mental distress, oppression, to feel wronged. This is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not okay. And it's okay for us to say that. Another thing Michael Card said along these lines, he said, "Tears can't be wiped away until they're shed." Until we grieve, how can we be comforted? So it's okay to cry at a memorial service. It's okay to grieve. It's godly to lament. One of the words rolling around my head is bittersweet, though. I think that walking with Jesus is a bittersweet process. I think if it's all bitter, you're not really walking with the Lord. I think if it's all sweet, you're not really walking with the Lord, right? When I think about Jesus going to the cross, that's bittersweet. When I think about Riley right now, on one hand, I feel like cussing and breaking stuff. On the other hand, I feel like celebrating. I mean, Riley is where we all long to be, truth be told. I'm actually don't feel like cussing and breaking stuff because of Riley, exactly. It's for all of us left behind, right? So I'm thrilled. I know where we haven't lost Riley. We know exactly where Riley is, right? He's with the Lord. He's with his heavenly father. He's with his earthly father. He's with my mom and all the saints. And Riley couldn't be happier right now. He's not hurting anymore. All that's over for him. Over. So on one hand, I feel great sorrow. I feel distressed. I feel wronged and I feel angry. But on the other hand, I'm thrilled that we know right where Riley is. So I think grieving for the Christian, it makes us feel a little bit like we have two personalities or something, or schizophrenic or bipolar. I don't know what I'm feeling exactly. But Jesus knows. Jesus is a man of sorrows. Scripture says, well acquainted with grief. That means it's okay to be sad. That means it's okay to feel sorrow, to express sorrow, and to grieve. And it means that Jesus knows how we feel. One of the things I tend to do in a lot of different situations, in a crisis or a tragedy, is ask all the why questions. Why did this happen? Why did God allow it? That sort of thing. And I think that takes me in a huge circle. I can do it for hours, and I wind up right back where I started, you know? So what I try to do when I'm trying to get some kind of handle on things is ask myself questions I know the answers to, right? So what do we know right now? Well, we know Riley loves and trusts the Lord. We could tell story after story of the evidence of faith in Riley. We could do that for hours, right? What a sweet, sweet young man. Just a joy to be around. We know where Riley is. We know he's with his heavenly father and his earthly father right now. We know that Riley's healed. He's happy. He's healthy. He's singing. He's dancing. What else do we know? We know Jesus is good in spite of all this. We know Jesus is loving and kind. We know he's powerful and strong. We know that he has always loved Riley more than any of us ever could. We know that Jesus has a good plan, the best plan, and we can trust him even when we don't understand the plan. We also know that if we love Jesus and trust him, we're going to see Riley again. Sometimes we talk like the good old days are in the past. They're not. They're not. The good days are still in front of us. The good days are still in front of us. There's a pastor's wife who said something. She was going through a really hard time, and somebody said, "How do you do it?" And she said, "I just have to keep telling myself this is the short part of eternity." That's true. This is the short part. This is the hard part of eternity for those who believe. Psalm 116 says this, "Precious in the sight of Jehovah is the death of his saints." When you unpack it, that word precious means it matters a lot. It's of great consequence to Jehovah when the saints pass away. Psalm 62 says, Spurgeon is a preacher about 150 years ago. He said, Psalm 62:5 says, "My expectation is from him." And Spurgeon was talking about for believers when we pass away. He said, "We have expectations beyond this life. We shall die soon." First time I read that, I was like, whoa, wait a minute, Spurgeon. Calm down. I don't know if I'm going to die soon. But then I realized Spurgeon's there. You know, it is soon. He says, "We shall die soon, and then our expectation is from him. Do we not expect that when we lie on our bed of sickness, he will send angels to carry us to himself? We are expecting harps of gold and crowns of glory. We're hoping soon to be amongst the multitude of shining ones before his throne. We're looking forward and longing for the time when we'll be like our glorious Lord, for we will see him as he is." And then Spurgeon turns and speaks to his own soul. He says this, "If these are your expectations, O my soul, then live for God. Live with the desire and the resolve to glorify him." That's what Riley would encourage us to do too. If you have expectations of Jesus now and expectations of him in the life to come, then live for him today. In spite of your grief, in spite of your sorrow. When we're hurting and grieving, a lot of times we're tempted to turn away from the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to be gracious and give us the desire to turn to him instead of away. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our only hope. And you know how we feel this morning. You know how it feels to grieve and to experience sorrow and loss. Lord, I pray that in the midst of our pain, you would enable us to turn to you and to walk with you instead of turning away in despair. Lord, I pray that even though there's times we're going to feel like you let us down, I pray that we'll continue to put our hope and our expectation in you for this life and for the next, and that you'll work in our hearts in such a way that we'll walk with you and live for you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. There's a couple of other individuals that were just going to say a couple of things in regards to Riley. And I think that probably if we were to take the remainder of this day, maybe everyone here would have something that they would like to say. And that would be okay. And maybe we can do some of that a bit later. But what I wanted to do was to also provide that opportunity for a few other individuals who were just going to say a couple of things and then maybe set just a little bit of that time aside if there's someone else who feels that it's very, very important to say something that's on your heart. But, so we'll just go with this for just a little bit. So, Father Bill, okay.
Yeah. My name is Bill Exenas, and to be honest, I was very, very humbled and honored to be asked to just kind of share a memory. Only known Riley for a couple of years. Our family is fairly new to Alabama and to the church here and to the family at Restoration Academy. And I had the privilege of being able to teach Riley seventh grade science. And for all of the people that have taught Riley and have worked with him at the school, I hope I speak. He was an incredible young man. He is an incredible young man. Always diligent, always excited to be there to learn something. And the story I remember most was last year, in the midst of his treatments, we had a team that competed in a science Olympiad, and Riley was very, very much a part of that. Whenever he could work on the projects and so forth, and we weren't really sure that he was going to even be able to make it to the competition. And yet he did. He did. And it got towards the end of the afternoon, and he had competed in all the events that he had been working towards. And a couple of students hadn't shown up. And it was late in the afternoon. And Riley was one of the only students in the room with me. And I said, Riley, we have this one more competition. And he said, okay. And he got up, and this competition was held at UAB, and so we had to walk back and forth. We had to walk quite a distance, kind of all over the campus. And we were about halfway across the campus, and I could just tell Riley looked tired. He just looked really tired. And I said, Riley, are you okay? I mean, we don't have to do this. And with that smile that I know everyone in this room knows, he just looked at me and said, it's all right. I can do this. That was his heart. And I'm going to miss him.
My name is Jason Addington. I'm a deacon here at the church, and I'm one of Riley's godparents. And I was really honored the day that Jonathan and Jennifer asked me to be his godparent, and known Jonathan and Jennifer even before there was a Jonathan and Jennifer. You know, when you go through situations like this, and all of us have or will, there's a question that you ask someone, you come up to them and you say, how are you doing? And that's a weird question. I went over and visited Riley one day. He was in the hospital, I believe. And I asked him that question. I said, Riley, how are you doing? And he was laying in his hospital bed, and he looked up at me, and he said, pretty good. How are you doing? And Riley, he always had a heart for other people. And those of you that knew him, that know him, knew that. And I was just touched by his heart, the way he related to his brothers, the way he cared for his brothers and his parents and his grandparents. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the days of going over there to play Legos with him and have Nerf gun battles. And you know, Chris said it great about wrestling with God. It's okay to wrestle with God because we don't understand this. We don't understand so many things related to this. But we will understand if we just stay close to the Lord and trust in Him that His will is perfect and just love Him with all our hearts. That's what Riley would want us to do, to love the Lord with all our hearts and chase after Him. So God bless you all.
I'm Father Don. I want you to look around the room, literally right now. Just look around. Every person that you see carries an imprint, a permanent imprint of this young man's impact in our lives. Riley is known in Africa because I travel there, and I wore this cross today, which is an African cross, for that. And many thousands of children in Africa have prayed for Riley. He's made an imprint there as well. And they will carry that imprint of having prayed for him in their hearts. And this room and the children in Africa just represent probably a smidgen of the people whose lives have been impacted by Riley. I want to tell you just a tad about how he's impacted me. I can't tell it all, even if I tried. It's so deep and profound and mysterious and truly without words. There are people in my life that I consider mentors. There are a few. Maybe I could count them on one hand and barely on two. Riley is a mentor for me. His life stands in my life as a permanent marker for what strength looks like, what strength sounds like, what strength acts like. You know, Riley was tended to be quiet. I know Jennifer knows another side of him probably that she's had to get in the way of. But, you know, he just has that quiet, steady strength. And I remember even before Riley got sick, even before Jonathan got sick, at the rail when Riley would come up for Eucharist and the Lord would give me a word or had me pray for him. And there were a lot of those, maybe more than most. And I just kept reminding myself of this thought that would come whenever I would give Eucharist to Riley, and it was, you know, I want to be like him. I thought that was a strange thought for an adult to want to be like a kid. But I really do. I stand before you this day desiring to be like Riley.
I didn't know if there was any of the, if there's anyone else who just feels like they would, might just want to share something briefly. And in particular, not trying to narrow the focus too much, but in particular, if there's any of the young people, any of you, those of you who are his peers, maybe give or take 1 or 2 or 3 years, that has anything on your heart that you wanted to say.
I had Riley stand up for me in this grade. There was this bully that was being mean to me, and he came over there and helped me, and I'm grateful that he did that for me. He was a really nice friend to me. He was always nice to me. He was always caring about everyone else. That's all I gotta say.
I can't hear you. Oh.
I just kept thinking about this morning. I had the unique privilege of being Riley's Sunday school teacher for about 4 years in a row. And Father Don said it all. I learned more from him than he ever learned from me. He had a special chair in our room that sat up a little higher than everyone else. And when he turned 12, he was graduating out of my class, and I went to his parents, and I asked them, could he please just stay one more year, because he is my helper. He's my one who gives all the answers. He's the one who's the good example. And they said yes, and I remember walking up to him, sitting on the back row of church, and I said, Riley, your parents said you can stay in my class. And he turned around and looked at me with that big smile of his and said, oh, thank you. And one day, I'll never forget, and this is for Chris and Perry and all the family. I asked him one day, how do you know all the answers to all the questions I ask? And he said, my mom and dad tell me everything. So I just wanted to share that, because he was the most special child I've ever known. And I loved him so much.
Praise the Lord, everyone. To the ministers on the roster and to those of you who are in the audience and to the celebrating family, I by no means feel worthy to even stand and speak today, because I've only known this family for a very brief time and only get to connect once a year with them. But you know, small time in the hands of God become great. And this family has impacted my life in a way that will last through eternity. A couple of summers ago, first of all, my name is Jennifer Wright. From Alabama CFO camp, and I know some of the CFOs are in the house. It's a summer camp that we go to once a year, and it's like a reunion with Christian families with the same belief of just loving the Lord. Amen. And I was having such a hard time with my little daughter and just struggles and just things in life. And I can remember Raleigh and his father working the altar. And they not only prayed for me and my daughter, but they prayed for a whole line of people. And they were in the midst of their own struggles, even having to leave camp to take care of some things. But even in the midst of their struggles, they did not hesitate to give all of themselves in laying on of hands and praying. And we saw signs and wonders and miracles. And although we can't put into words or even bring understanding to what we as a family, you as a family, have experienced in this year alone, we trust God. And as it has already been said, I know I'm a part of an international prayer ministry. So the lives and the testimony are far reaching, not only from coast to coast, but around the world, I know. And I just pray that in this time that you will find peace and you will find comfort, and this missing link or these missing links will be filled with peace, love, and understanding, and you will be comforted in this time. God bless you.
Okay. I'm Riley's grandfather, and I think you can hear me now. I feel like I'm yelling. And I loved him. Obviously, I'm Jonathan's dad as well, and Chris's. And I won't take long because I love what Chris had to say, and that was my heart, too. That's about all I wanted to say since I got up here. Though I certainly don't want to take time and add time to all that, but like all of Jonathan Jennifer's boys, he was so special. And Ethan, Josh, and Jack, I know there's going to be such a hole in your life. I'm so sorry. But we all just keep loving each other. Thank you, Jen, for all you've done.
If it weren't for Riley, I'd probably be dead by now. Because one day after school, I was really excited to get home. And I jumped out of the car, and I didn't see another car coming. So Riley grabbed me by my backpack and pulled me in the car. And I would have got hit if he wasn't even there, if he didn't care for me.
My family and I have talked, and we decided, because I kept thinking, who does Riley remind me of? I thought about this for a long time, and it finally hit me. For those of you who know the 1960s Andy Griffith TV series, Riley was Opie Taylor, but just more anointed and loved Jesus fully.
The one thing that I had just wanted to say briefly was I had a chance to pray with Riley over the last year and a half, almost daily. And at any rate, the privilege of getting to know him in regards to doing that. But the other thing I wanted to share was I went to a baseball game with Jen and the boys. And Stacy and I went, my wife and I went. And at any rate, in part of that interaction, and Jen, I may butcher this story, but in part of that interaction, if I remember right, the individual who had given the tickets was somebody who had talked to Riley about who it is that he would like to meet. Kind of butchered it a little bit. At any rate, who he most wanted to meet, if he could meet someone in person right now, was Jesus. And have this 13-year-old boy says, that's who I want to meet. Isn't that amazing? That his favorite psalm for a 13-year-old boy would say, my favorite psalm is 23, Psalm 23. I just think that's so cool. Riley finished well. And when we look at someone who finishes well, regardless of how much time we have, we can take opportunities like this and to say, what am I going to do with the time I have left? And how am I going to spend the time that I have left doing that which is important to be done? So I would really want to impart this to all of us that are here. I would really encourage you on a day such as this, when there's been so much that has been talked about and our emotions are like on a yo-yo, and in the midst of that, as Christians, we also have that recognition that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that we also keep a short list. Keep a really short list. And what I mean by that, if there is anyone in your life that you haven't told lately that you love them, I'd do it. If there's anybody in your life whatsoever that you have something that you need to ask forgiveness for or you need to forgive them, I'd do it. And I'd keep a really short list. All Riley took with him into eternity was a heart that the Lord had prepared. And he was an earthen vessel filled with the graciousness and presence of the Lord. That was profound. And for all of us to finish well is something to be able to celebrate, something to be able to embrace. Amen? Amen. Amen. So at this point in time, what we do is we make a profession of our faith. And I'm sure that many of you are familiar with that. It's called the Apostles' Creed. So if I could just ask you to stand as we profess our faith.
Together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died,